Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup, everybody. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblum, here with Dr. Clarity and Roane Area High School Principal Brian Cox.
Hello, Marcy.
Hi there. Hello, Marcy.
It's great to have you here today, and we are so excited here on In the Loop with the Soup to have the lead of our flagship, the Roane Area High School, Mr. Brian Cox. And thank you so much for joining us today. You know, the life of a principal is always moving, so we're trying to keep you in and out because I know you have almost 2,000 scholars and staff that you're trying to make sure that you're taking care of in what we call a small city over there at Roane Area High School. But we appreciate your time here.
No, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Absolutely. So we're going to jump right in. And just looking at the calendar, it's all, including the transition, it's almost been a full year of coming on board of Roane Area High School. So tell us a little bit about that year one.
Well, you know, that first year in, you're trying to really try to assess what needs to be modified, adapted, what shouldn't be changed. And so this first year has been really focused a lot on building relationships with our scholars, with our families, with our staff, and really trying to chart out kind of what our next steps are moving into the next year. But also at the same time, really trying to drive into our school improvement plan, really make that a living document that just doesn't sit on a shelf waiting to be viewed by someone at the State Department.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as we always do, we jump right in, we start talking business, but you know, to the surprise of many, we're humans behind the behind the leadership, and we always like to talk about our personal lives and what brought us into leadership. So can you give us just kind of an insight to the person behind the principal? You tell us the story of Brian Cox.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version. Within that, when I started out in college, I went to college from a single-parent family. My whole goal in going to college was to make money. I came from a very impoverished background that I knew education was the way to something different than what I had experienced. And at that point in time, it was my high school football coach, Coach Paul Colgate. Still keep in contact with him to this day. Senora Cowan, my Spanish teacher, and Miss White, my journalism teacher, who really became role models and helped shape what my life would look like after high school. Very positive influences for me, convinced me to probably stop making some of the teenage decisions I was doing at
correct,
the time
and
make those more proactive adult-like decisions and go off to college and help be that for someone else. And so as we were really getting into that, this is, let's see, my 22nd year in education, and I've been a principal now 15 years, and so it's been an honor to be a part of this district because of the dynamics that are within it and the direction it's going and headed. And so really this became an honor of a lifetime for me to join this team.
Excellent, excellent. And so you got some great advice, and I think they were trying to get you to go with your passion, because I don't think they were trying to get you rich in education.
No.
That's never gonna be the case. But the hard work is fulfilling, and you know, I tell people all the time, the monetary benefits are not why we do this work. It's for every scholar that we serve, for every family and community member that we have the honor of being able to uplift and support education. So in this amount of time, you've been renowned, and we get compliments all the time for your willingness to be not just visible but engaging and getting to know our community and our family. So talk about some of those strategies and intentionality, and what have you learned?
Well, you know, the strategy in and of itself is visibility. The greatest gift any human being can give another is time. And I think, you know, whether it's outside greeting parents and scholars as they're entering, greeting them as they're leaving the building to get on the buses, sitting out at lunchtime, those are just the informal ways that we start to build those relationships. But a lot of times we really have to go back and focus on the fact that education is a very human connected endeavor. And if we don't have those relationships as a foundation, we've got nothing to build from. And so we've really tried to work in it to incorporate more of our parent voice, our student agency, student voice into the building. And not just from a checkbox type event of saying, yeah, we got opinions from students, but we've actually brought them into the process in helping shape some of our procedures, some of our guidelines that we refer to in our school around different things that needed some adaptation throughout the year.
Absolutely. So we get a ton of compliments, both from the inside and outside of our community, and you know, I want to again thank our community right here on our show for their investment in education overall, but and also in our magnificent facilities. And the facilities, we're proud that they allow a space for the opportunity for every student to fulfill anything they could dream of doing or becoming within those in those spaces. But I also remind everyone when they talk about, you know, the beauty of the building, it's what that's we're thankful for that, but it's what happens on the inside that matters of the building. We want to make sure that we are really an organization that prioritizes excellence, and that excellence is grounded in equity. So talk about those strategies that you've uplifted, the rigor and the expectations for what it really means to be a scholar in our organization.
No, absolutely. And I think once you've established those relationships, you really start to look at the systems. Quality education systems are built upon layers and layers of predictability. And so for our scholars, for our staff, it's really about creating systems where access is opened through those systems. There's a number of examples we could touch on from the academic to the behavioral front. One of the big things I think that is most important for us this year at the high school was our introduction of our multi-leveled systems of support.
Absolutely.
And how we've created these systems to catch students in the moment when they're struggling, and not wait for what I refer to as the autopsy visit of, okay, why did they fail a class?
Yeah.
And so we've really focused on building out that system and catching students in the moment. So we're having more check-ins and check-outs with scholars, building on that human relationship piece, but at the same time, leveraging that to get better academic performance in the classroom and helping them start charting out what those goals in their future might look like.
Absolutely. That's a great message for all of our families to know and understand. Around that intentionality, it doesn't just happen on a daily basis. Yeah. There's got to be a lot of intentionality, and you know the staff that you have inside the walls of Runner High School, I would put up against anyone across our state. Can you talk about our staff and their expectations for children, and then they're just great human beings. You know, you walk in, there's a smile, there's joy. They care about one another. They care about their children. And talk about your staff there.
Yeah, no, and to give some context to this, I have worked in two previous states, three total now, from the United States Air Force Academy, which was a public high school, all the way to Wyoming and now here. And in that, this truly is the finest staff that we have worked, that I've ever had the opportunity to work with. Within it, one of the driving factors of our staff is they truly believe and live our equity framework.
Excellent.
That it is always at the center of the decisions we make. One of the things I most appreciate, if I can put you on the spot a little bit, sir, about your leadership, is specifically you allow our teams to question, to push the envelope, to not simply say this is the way it's always been done, but this is the way we need it to work. And so now how do we back map from that vision of what we want to be in place to provide for our scholars? And so that has really driven a lot of the work that we've done through our professional learning communities, and a huge shout out to the communities of Roan and Fitchburg for the supports they've given us as a staff to be able to have the time to collaborate, to plan together, to vertically articulate our curriculum. When we think about our experiences in education, it's very easy to say we've all been through the system, so we know what education is like. But I think it's fair to say that the scholars of today are not the scholars of 20 years ago, 30 years ago, even 5 years ago, pre-pandemic. And so the needs and the structures that we're building to support them academically, socially, and emotionally are truly the bedrock of where we can build from. So
that's amazing. And so, Mr. Cox, we work hard for the right reason, because we're working hard on behalf of our students, but we also both we have our joy in our profession, but we also have our joy that keeps us grounded in just our everyday lifestyle. So talk about those things that if you're not within the walls of Roan Area High School, or if you're not doing some research, or and I can know, and yeah, I think you read more articles than I do, because we're always like going back and forth on and talking about the great practices in education. But what brings you joy from family life to hobbies to just things that keep you grounded?
Yeah, you know, outside of school, my school has always been my second family, wherever I've been, and that's something I think that in bringing joy, I tell our scholars every day when they're coming in the building, you know, I tell them good morning and give them a fist bump, and they say, well, how are you doing? And I say, great, now that you're here.
Good.
That's the building is empty without the scholars, and that's why we're here, that's why we do that work. And so as we look at that, knowing that our scholars feel seen, valued, and loved, for me, that's what brings me joy in this. Outside of the profession, my family has loved the transition to Wisconsin here, and the ability for us to give back in a professional sense, having a wife as an educator as well, a kindergarten teacher, we get to live and breathe with our family what we do as a profession. The unique part about that is it never really feels like work, because it's just
great.
Who you are as a person.
Absolutely. So when and we'd like to recognize and thank former principal Pam Hammond for her years of service in Abrona Area High School and basically opening up the new high school when it came on board. But with that, we committed to our community that we were going to do a national search, and people were like, "Are you really going to do a national search?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're going to do a national search because this is important. We want to make sure that we have the perfect fit." To lead Bronner High School into the future, and we found this dynamic candidate all the way in the state of Wyoming, and I think I pride myself in being in most states across the United States. I have never been to Wyoming, so talk to them. How did we get a why is Cheyenne, is that right?
It was Cheyenne.
Cheyenne Wyoming, yep. Candidate to Wisconsin, and just tell us a little bit about that shift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was interesting that, you know, I've been trying to change the system in Cheyenne, and definitely not to speak negatively on my past base, because I learned a lot and wonderful educators there as well. But the dynamic was different than here, and I'd been kind of lamenting some struggles I'd been having over the time there with a colleague of mine that was on the National Association of Secondary School Principals Board of Directors that I served on. And he said, well, you should really start trying to look at Wisconsin. I think you'd like it out this direction. And he'd start to see maybe some more open minds, open opinions about the things you're trying to do in your school. And as I started looking out to that, never been to Wisconsin before, a year before the interviews. And I reached out to the Milken Foundation, which I was very honored and humbled to be a selected recipient of that award. And we had another Milken Award winner here in the Verona Area School District, Miss Lois Feiner over at Glacier Edge. Give you a quick shout out there, Lois.
Guess who was on the podcast right before you?
Oh, really?
Miss Lois Feiner.
Well, Miss Feiner is the reason I'm here. I reached out to three Milken educators in the state, because there were only three that we still had access to, and I was really trying to figure out, okay, where do I not want to be? I don't want to jump from the frying pan to the fire here. So where's a good space that I belong, that I fit, and that mission and vision really align with my pedagogical thinking? And she said, you should really look at applying to our district. We're going to have an opening here. And so put my name in the hat, not expecting anything by any means, because I know that in Wyoming I was a pretty big fish in a small pond. And so in that regard, just again, very honored to be here and be able to serve. So
absolutely. So, I had the honor of doing the interview process, doing a lot of research on Mr. Cox, and you know, when you think about a newer, it was like 3 years. I feel like a veteran already at the superintendent, but newer. You have to nail the high school principal hire. You got to get that one right. You got to get them all right. But you talk about the lead of our flagship building, and you know, and I say that's where, you know, we love all of our schools, but inevitably every student's going to walk through the corridors of the high school before the culminating event of graduation. And you know, just really we were looking for someone with a strong instructional lens, a very strong passion for innovation, and very grounded in equity-based thought process to ensure that every student in our organization received a world-class education. And you checked all those boxes, and then it was just a matter of, okay, have they witnessed a Wisconsin winter yet? And trying to figure out that's always something that you have to have out there as well. So you've had your first Wisconsin winter, and and included I think an April late start day for at least for yeah. for snow, which is remarkable to say. But just talk about that transition.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I will have to tell you that the one thing that still to this day just boggles me is the sunrises here. Yeah. They are nothing else I've seen. And so having lived through the winter season here, it's not vastly different. It's much more humid, much colder from that humidity standpoint for sure. Ice forms a lot quicker. The roads behave a little bit differently. Yeah. But at the same time, it doesn't have the wind Wyoming does. Wow. And the absence of those 30-mile-an-hour winds on a daily occurrence, pretty nice. Yeah. You know? So, yeah. But it's one of those where we're definitely cold weather people in the sense that, you know, that never affected us too much. But, you know, the overall move out here, it's been positive on my children, positive on my wife. So it's really been, we count our lucky stars daily.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to have you here. And, you know, I'm glad you found a family here, and we look forward to a long, long tenureship with us. So as we think about the future of Verona Area High School, what can our families, our community members, our listeners, what can they expect for what's on the horizon out there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of the big things when I came in with our teachers as well as our caregivers specifically was trying to address some of the work around cell phones and that student engagement piece. Yeah. I'm a firm believer that cell phones in the classroom are not a behavior management as much as it is a cry for engagement. Correct. And so as we look at those, the simple issue of cell phones really doesn't fall down to just simply a policy level of you can't have them. Yeah. Anybody who's thought deep into the past on their own children, simply having that rule at home doesn't mean that the kid will always follow that rule. And so as we think of our scholars in that same sense, we had to bring our scholars in the loop on the development of what that's going to look like. If there is not true agency by the scholars, then we're not going to have any buy-in to that procedure. And ultimately, we're going to be running around just trying to figure out what consequence might shape that behavior. And so I've always been really focused on positive reinforcement and how we take a proactive approach to those behaviors. And so we have spent a lot of this year surveying our caregivers, our scholars, and then using those surveys to specifically draft out and develop what to expect from teachers, administrators, caregivers, and scholars around the issue. And so that'll be unveiled here in the coming weeks. But at the same time, really looking at how we build out those tier one supports within the classroom. We have such amazing teachers, and in a building of 2,000 plus people, it's hard to gain that coherence. And so we're really trying to make sure that we make learning predictable for the scholars, that they aren't walking into a different boss every hour of the day.
Absolutely.
And having to figure out, okay, what rules of the game do I now play by? And so our teaching staff is very committed to streamlining that process and developing that more proactive behavior management approach, both to the academic and the behavioral side of the work we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some of the things that, in addition to the things you just mentioned, that I've been keeping a keen eye on and just watching the progress take place, and hopefully supporting the progress as well, mm-hmm. are the community partnerships and those experiences, both in terms of college level classes, those youth apprenticeships, the ability to get licensure in multiple areas before you even leave the high school. Those are things that I think set us apart from many high schools across our state, and in some instances the nation as well. That you can come out with a lot of college credits. Some really good licensures and the skills and crafts, and you were able to do it right there on site because of the phenomenal facilities. Can you talk about what those partnerships have looked like?
No, absolutely. Yeah, the amount of offerings when I stepped into this position 10 months ago, quite frankly, what came to my mind is if I'm the principal of this and I'm just trying to figure out how to wrap my head around all this, how do we do that for our families?
Absolutely.
And so when we look at all of those programs, we almost have more programs than anybody could engage in. Everybody wants to take everything, and it becomes there's not enough time in the day. And so one of the things that our families can expect as we move into next fall is we are creating a grade level specific guide for caregivers of different things that they can expect and different things that they'll need to be thinking about as we move into those different years. So that way, if this is your first freshman, your first sophomore, your first time out with a junior, you'll know what to expect. I was the second born into my family, so I got to live vicariously through my sister's mistakes that took place or things that went on. I had an easier road. And so instead of it being luck or chance, we want to make sure that we take all these programs that we have and package them in a way that to make sure that the scholars get the full experience through youth apprenticeships and different collegiate pathways, that we share with families early on and often how they engage with that and when and what points to engage in.
Absolutely. That's exciting. And so we talked about all the curriculars. Our co-curriculars are absolutely amazing, from the arts, our musicals, our athletic teams. They're always right there, performing at such a magnificent level. And our community engagement in terms of just, if you go to our high school on the weekend, it is full. We're already getting ready to expand the parking lot again because we can't even keep all the spaces. We need more spaces at this time. So, is a final message to our community and to all of our listeners out there, what would you like them to know and understand about what it really means to be a Bruner High School Wildcat?
Yeah, I think the big thing that I want, and this is, I know our scholars may not be the audience listening to this, but I always gear it towards that. If they have not been told yet today that they are loved, that they are seen, and they are valued, that is what I lead off with every week. If you're in our building right at the beginning of the day on Fridays, you will hear a motivational message come forward from me on through the intercom. One of our scholars likened it to being the Verona Area High School Ted Lasso.
Absolutely.
Not sure I wear the mustache quite as well, but work towards it. But that idea that when you entrust the staff and the faculty of Verona Area High School with your scholar, that they are our life's work and they are our mission to make sure that they find success in the pathway that they want to dive into. This is not pre-prescribed. This is, tell us the path you want to be on and we're going to help you get there.
That's amazing. Well, I want to personally thank you for your leadership. You've just been an amazing addition to the Bruner Area School District overall. Your collaboration and partnership, whether it's with the high school or anything, principal meetings, as we're all growing and learning together, collaboration, I couldn't ask for more from you. And so thank you for continuing to elevate our scholars and to elevate our community. And we're going to turn it back to Marcy.
I'd like to join Dr. Clarity in thanking you for being here today. And as a parent of a high school student who has an outgoing high school principal, it's interesting that you mentioned visibility and incorporating voice and instructional leadership throughout our conversation today, because those are three of the things that, on the survey where they said, what should we look for in our next principal? Those were the things. So it's clearly important to the parents in our community, and you're hitting it out of the park on all those things. So thank you very much. We're glad to have you here, and we appreciate you being on In the Loop with the Soup. To our listeners, I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Solderbloom. Thank you also for listening to In the Loop with the Soup.